I just could not have picked a better pick for the Buccaneers at number one, and sometimes I feel like it's just a dream.
Best in Class is back with Joe Bucks fan draft guru Sean Sullivan. He's running it through the Buccaneers draft, and sneak peek, he likes it. A lot of in-depth stuff here. Great listen. Enjoy. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. I feel like I'm living a dream, right? So did we get a pass rusher? I mean, that's what this entire podcast is going to be about, is if you are a Buccaneers fan, this is your podcast. We're going to go through the draft picks. We're going to go through the wish list of what we wanted in the offseason, and we're going to shoot through this. And then during these next few weeks, I'm going to break down your favorite team inside your favorite division. Don't worry, I'm going to do every single team. It'll all be done by Best in Class. Please email me at Best in Class with Sean Sullivan anytime you want at Bill Curry Ford. Listen, thank you for all the support. I have been on an epic adventure for the last few weeks. I have been in Lexington, Kentucky at Paul Miller Ford. Great people, great process. If you're ever in Lexington, Kentucky, I can tell you there's not a better Ford store to go to. And then I go from there, I go to Chicago to visit Sutton Ford, and an amazing event, amazing people, interesting city, Chicago. If you haven't been, it's interesting. Went by where the Bears play, went by where the White Sox play. There wasn't anybody there, which was super interesting. But I'm just so done traveling. I'm so happy to be home. I'm so happy to be talking football again, get this podcast out. I can't wait to go to Danny's Deli to get the best pastrami sandwich, period. And by the way, I went to Chicago, and you're like eating the food, and you're like, they're known for their food. I will say their deep dish was phenomenal. But we are so blessed to be in Tampa. I mean, this is a paradise. We live in paradise, guys. We live where everyone else vacations. Please don't forget that. This is the best city, the best people, the best food, best skyline. Our traffic is getting terrible, but obviously, out of all the things, I can deal with that. So I guess if we're going to start this thing, let's start with a word from our sponsor, right? So Bill Curry Ford, family-owned dealer for 65 years, serving the Tampa Bay community, free mobile, free tow truck, which is super pretty cool. I mean, I love having a tow truck. Roadside assistance comes from Bill Curry Ford. Our body shop is a master body shop full of all different OEMs. We handle every big insurance company. We have space right now. Don't forget us when that happens. Gigantic parts department. We're a top 50 store in the nation for sales, right? Lots of stuff going on. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of the amazing things that we're doing right now for the month of May. That month is going so fast. We're almost 6 months into the year. Like, where does everything go? I have no idea. Again, lots of stuff going on at Bill Curry Ford. Please visit us. Follow us at all the social media sites. You guys know them. I don't need to list them. And then again, what an amazing journey I've had. Now I'm ready to talk football. Let's get into it. So I've been dreaming about a pass rusher, right? And for those of you listening to Best in Class, and this isn't your first time, I've been talking about it for years, right? Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. The last time the Bucs won the Super Bowl, right, we had JPP and Shaq Barrett, right? We had an amazing pass rush, double-digit sackers. When we've been very successful, we've been able to get pressure from the outside in this 3-4. We've been able to do it. It's been hard because I truly don't believe that Todd Bowles believes in a traditional pass rusher. I think he likes the idea of a blitzing corner, a blitzing linebacker. We're going to talk about that. This draft, guys, before we talk about Reuben Bain, this draft was to support Todd Bowles' defense. If anybody disagrees with me, please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. I will break it down for you. Every single one of these players that Jason and I drafted, minus the receiver, was based upon Todd Bowles' scheme and supporting his scheme. That's really interesting to see this level of support on someone that we believe that if he has a bad year, will be fired, right? So that's the way it's looked at. But right now, going in there, when I had my podcast with Ira Kaufman podcast, we talked about 6 wins. This draft by Jason Light and the way that Todd Bowles can use some of this talent translates into 3 more wins. I'm now going to a 9-win season. Hopefully, with a little luck without injuries, we can win some more games. We have a very tough schedule, but let me just tell you something. You know what makes a big difference when you get somebody like Reuben Bain, Reuben Bain is somebody we had no idea we could get. You guys have heard all the stories about Reuben Bain, how they're going to use him, I'm sure, at this point, that he plays a pressure defense. He's explosive, relentless motor. Anybody who watched him play knows that this guy does not take plays off, that he's a glass eater, that he will punish you with controlled violence. I love everything about him. He plays the run extremely well. He is a true number one pass rusher at 6'2", 263, ran a 4.72. His RAS score, 7.8. Power-based athlete, 45 tackles, 12.5 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. Compact, edge defender, absolutely terrific center of gravity, outstanding leverage, can bend. This guy is unbelievable because he's violent, but also precise. It's a very hard combination to have, is to have a guy, you know, we've had in a type that Jason Light has had. We've had these, the Joe Tryons, you know, kind of Logan Hall, again, this kind of pass rush. We haven't had somebody that came in that had pass rushing moves, but then at the same time wasn't just a first step, let me get in the backfield kind of a guy. I can run through you. I can steal your wallet. I can punch you in the face while I'm wearing sunglasses and a Bucks jersey. This guy is going to generate, is going to scare people with the way he can generate power, the way he can translate power to speed. It's going to really shock people how good he is. This long arm thing, I'm done, or short arm thing, I'm done talking about it. I can give you 1,000 examples, like Aaron Donald had short arms. You know, that's why he fell in the draft. TJ Watt. I mean, like, there's a million examples of guys that don't have perfectly, you know, formed bodies as far as the length and height that you would want. And I understand the science behind it. I'm not saying there's not science behind it, but on our own team, we have a right tackle that's playing at extremely a high level. And I don't think anybody thinks that Gedeky can't play this game. He has short arms. They said that's why you had to move him into guard. Well, guess what? If you have the right player and he has the right drive, the right motivation, the right mindset, they love football. He loves football. Bane loves football. The arm length, to me, yes. Is it going to be a challenge sometimes? Yes. But if he punches right and he gets through it, he has terrific hands, he's going to get through you. The way he sets the edge, the way he can maintain discipline is a big deal. But here's the thing. This guy never stops. I know that people don't like to hear, oh, his motor, like he's an effort player. Listen, effort plus talent is what we're looking for, not just effort. I don't want the untalented effort guy. What I'm looking for is a combination of skill and effort is really, really hard to find. Elite leverage, violent hand usage. We talked about he can absolutely collapse the pocket. As far as Bowles fit, you know, he can stand up outside linebacker in his fit. He's going to do that. In sub packages, he can drop inside. His NFL comp is Trey Hendrickson, a guy that we played around with in the offseason. And to Steve's point, should have paid. We could have had both, right? That's a whole other podcast. He's definitely going to be a starter from day one. A couple of things that haven't been covered in the national media is that he comes from a boxing background and a hand-to-hand combat background. Very interesting. Before he focused on football, he trained in boxing style hand fighting. And that really shows up in his game because you can see he's violent. He has a confidence, a swagger about him. Like he's not afraid to get into a fight, probably because he fights. I'm going to say that, you know, he has a gigantic toolbox. I think he's way ahead of most college edge rushers. And I think when, like, one of Lee's things is he's like, how much can a rookie pass rusher contribute? Well, he's been in college a long time. He started a long time. He's had a lot of sacks. And I think the biggest thing for him, he's just such a mature player. I don't want to talk about the hat. I don't want to talk about his anger. Listen, I'm only going to tell you what I see on the field. Like, all that's wonderful, but what you see on the field is he doesn't just rely on like a first step like Joe Tryon did. You know, he can absolutely run through you. Bane is not a guy you're going to like set up and then take the bull rush and then just kind of push him out of the way. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think his game projects extremely well because he's just not a speed rusher. He's a power rusher. He's got both things going up. He lined up at the five tech in Miami. especially, and he went to the interior on passing downs. He took on guards and tackles, which is he's really versatile, and I think that's what Todd Bowles likes about his scheme. I don't think that Todd Bowles or Jason Light knew that Bane was going to be there. I think New Orleans taking a quarterback, I loved it. I'm sorry, the Rams taking a quarterback, I loved it. The Rams really surprised everybody because they have a Super Bowl-ready team, and they drafted a quarterback, which, again, I think Matthew Stafford has several years left unless they know something we don't. This guy is going to be on the field for a lot of reps. I don't think he's going to tire very much. I don't think he's going to disappear in the fourth quarter. I think we finally got our closer. I think that's what was a big deal to me. I love everything about this guy. He doesn't guess on his gap coverage. He's not like, I'm just going to go really hard into this and hope I guess right. This guy is a cerebral player. Like, he's going to be disciplined. I think he's a technician. I know that word gets thrown around a lot. But you just don't see a guy with this many traits falling to 15 in the NFL draft. Bane, to me, is a top five player in this draft. There is no question to me that he's a top five player ready to produce. And I think this leverage to power thing is unbelievable. I think his ego has been affected, and I think that couldn't be better for Bucs fans, because I think he's going to come out and he's going to produce 9 sacks his rookie year. And I think he's going to have probably somewhere around 10 to 14 tackles for loss. And I think he's going to be a trendsetter. He's going to set the momentum. He's going to be able to influence the rest of this defense in the locker room and on the field. I think people are going to want to play with him. I think they're going to want to feed off of his energy. I just could not have picked a better pick for the Buccaneers at number one. And sometimes I feel like it's just a dream. And I'm telling you why, because I've wanted a player like this for so long. And we finally got him, and it's just so exciting. I can't wait to see him get on the field. Round two, Josiah Trotter, linebacker out of Missouri, right? So Trotter is obviously a legacy linebacker. 6'2", 237, ran a 4.6, 140, 7 RAS score. Very instinctive over physical traits. 92 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, an interception. Extremely instinctive, just like his father. Can diagnose a play at an elite level. I think that he accelerates once he diagnoses the play very well. Stays out of getting wrapped up by tackles or guards. I think he's very good at getting off blocks, but he doesn't actually engage. He's very good about getting around the blocks, but he's not running himself out of the play. He's being very smart about how he does it. So as far as how he fits into the Todd Bowles defense, he's a blitzer, right? So he's an amazing run stopper. He has a lot of tackles for loss. He loves to play behind the line of scrimmage, but this guy is a pass rusher at the linebacker position. Trotter will be an excellent blitzer for the Bucs. I think you're going to see Anzalone dropped in pass coverage, and you're going to see Trotter on certain plays, just getting to the quarterback. I think Todd Bowles can't believe this guy fell to him. I personally did not like him as much as I liked Anthony Hill Jr., who was still on the board when they drafted him. I think everybody knows who's listening to my podcast understands that I think Anthony Hill was one of the premier linebackers in the entire draft. But Todd Bowles, going back to Todd Bowles' defense, what linebacker in the entire NFL fit his style of play better than Trotter? There isn't anybody. And then when you realize that Todd Bowles had a very good, strong friendship with Trotter Sr. and really developed that friendship, had watched Josiah develop as a teenager and develop into a linebacker. He's only 21 years old. He's very young. Everybody says he can't drop into coverage. I didn't see that on the film because, he obviously played a lot of zone. He doesn't really get exposed in zone. So maybe they're talking about more of a man-on-man like backpedal, or does he recognize? Listen, recognizing plays, this guy is going to be isn't at elite level. So you're not going to fool him very much. Now, maybe as a rookie you will, but overall he's going to be very cerebral. He's going to learn it. He's a physical player. He loves to hit. He loves to set a tone. Defensively, between Bane and Trotter, you're going to have tone-setting hits that will fire up the crowd, fire up the defense. You can see what they're trying to do. You can see what Jason Light was thinking about adding these two players. Again, elite instincts, strong downhill player. I think he's a good tackler. Anthony Hill Jr. was the best tackler besides Sonny Styles in the entire draft as far as missed tackle percentage, opportunity to tackle. You know, the Bucs really need tackling. This guy's a reliable tackler. He's not an elite tackler, but he's an elite blitzer. So that's what I can tell you. His NFL comp was Nick Bolton for those Kansas City Chiefs who got to watch him. He was a defensive leader. Jeremiah Trotter, obviously, you guys know who he was. We talked about that. I don't know if this would have been my pick for overall linebacker, but if I knew Todd Bowles was going to be my head coach and you're drafting players to support your head coach, then this is the player you draft. My concern is, what if Todd Bowles has a bad year and we change head coaches and we change defenses, was this the best player in this spot for our team overall? And I'm probably going to say no. Was he the best player for our defense currently? And will he be super effective? Yes, I don't know if he's going to start right away. I guess that really depends on Roseboom, but or if we add somebody else. But I hope that he starts right away. It's not a given, and it's a. But if he does, I think you're going to see him at least coming in on blitzing downs. You know, obviously he grew up watching film with his dad, which I thought was really great. Reads keys instantly, takes efficient angles, rarely hesitates. I think he has a natural feel for the game based upon how he grew up. You know, the tackling, he rarely missed in space. I think that sometimes he tries to hit more than rap, you know, where he's trying to make that big hit, and sometimes you miss. Sometimes they continue to run after you hit him. I would like him to be more responsible as far as a tackler. We'll see. You know, he's so disciplined, you know, and you know that comes from watching film, and you know that comes from his dad giving him instruction, which I really liked about that. Because of his size, he's not like the biggest guy. He's fine. But he's not small, but he's not physically imposing, you know, and he's not going to freelance like some of our other linebackers had, which I think is going to be important. I think the bottom line is we got a extremely intelligent, extremely physical linebacker that can blitz. And if the Bucs were looking for bullies, you know, like I was thinking about like a name like the Bay Area Bullies. You know, if you think about between Bane and Trotter, they're bullies on the field. They will inflict pain, violence. They're going to inflict their will. They're going to try to change momentum in games. I'm hoping they can close some games for us in the fourth quarter because that would be really terrific. But I like the Bay Area Bullies as my merch is what I should trademark. Now, moving on, in the round three, Ted Hurst, the wide receiver, this was the guy that during the podcast I talked to Steve and Ira and Lee. I said, this is a guy I would like to see on the Bucs. He was one of those players that I was talking about. He comes from a small school. Everybody knows. I think everybody's probably got a lot of information on Ted Hurst already. But here's the thing. We didn't have a true X on the roster. And we talked about that in the pre-draft podcast. I was just convinced that they were going to draft a true X. And that's what they did with Ted Hurst. He's 6'4", 206, ran a 4.4 40, 9.3 RAS score. That's elite. That's at the top. 68 receptions, 1140, 2 in yards, 11 TDs. Length and stride, vertical threat right away. Oh, he's not a really terrific route runner at this point, but the NFL can fix that. His hands, he makes spectacular catches, drops simple catches. That's going to have to be corrected. But his ability to track the football is a major strength for him. He can win contested catches, very similar to Mike Evans. I know he's always going to be compared to Mike Evans for obvious reasons. I don't think it's fair to him that he's going to be compared to a Hall of Famer, but he is faster than Mike Evans. And, you know, Mike Evans also had times where he misses a simple catch, where he's dropped simple catches. We all know it as Bucs fans. Not ragging on Mike Evans. I'm saying it happens to all receivers. I think we got a developmental guy. I really like Jason Light's taste in receivers. I think he's really, really good at seeing specialized talent at that position. So I trust him. Like, there's certain positions that Jason Light, you just trust. You know, like the offensive line, nobody questions Jason Light's offensive line picks. Because even if I didn't think it was the best pick, it's going to turn out to be the best pick because Jason Light knows football, but he knows offensive line probably better than any other general manager in the NFL. Now, I think he's had tremendous success with receivers, and I think this is another one. His NFL comp is Martavis Bryant. Elite size, speed combination, deep ball we just talked about, contested catch we just talked about, limited routes for sure. This is a guy that can be a high wide receiver too, where like you have a Mika and you have Ted, then you have Chris Godwin and McMillan. You have them on the field at the same time. You know, he does change tempo in his routes. That was something you do notice when you watch film on him, is he's not a terrific route runner, but what he does is he doesn't show you all of his speed, and then all of a sudden he does. And he kind of really sets up the defensive backs. So I feel like he plays a little cat and mouse with them, and I think that that gives him such an advantage, and I think that's going to give him an advantage early on in his NFL career. He definitely uses his body well, which I think, again, helps the idea of him fighting for congested catches, which I think is really good. I think his best trait is he knows how to lean. And when I say that he knows how to lean, it means he knows how to get a defensive back off balance, basically. And that's really rare for a receiver, especially a small school receiver. I think that he's ahead of the curve on that. You know, I'm not a fan of how he catches through contact. I know he has some spectacular highlights. You get to see the highlights. But what I like to do is I like to watch the everyday plays. Like the every, I think that he does an okay job. The catches across the middle, he's a tough guy. He makes the catches. I've seen him make some tremendous catches with defenders all over him. I think he's one of those guys that you trust on third down right away. I'm interested to see how they use him. You know, during the Bucs rookie minicamp, he really stood out. But again, he's not going against NFL talent, but he stood out, which is what you want. You definitely want him. You don't want him to blend in. You want him to stand out for sure. I really like this pick. I really, really kind of had a crush on him prior to the draft. I just thought he was being overlooked with the amount of wide receivers and depth of wide receiver there was in this NFL's draft. Well, that's what it was. Round four, Keontae Scott. Love this guy. I watched a ton of it, obviously, at Miami. If you watch Bane, Scott really stands out. It's crazy. They play on the same side of the field. So you can see Bane and Scott making tackles on the same side. You're like, wow, these guys are working really well together. Pretty cool to watch. 5'11", 193. He's already the fastest Buccaneer on the team at 4'3", 40. 9.6 RAS score. So again, another elite athlete. 51 tackles, 3 interceptions, 9 pass defense last year. Obviously, you probably have heard he's going to play slot. I think he's going to play some safety and some slot for sure. I don't think he's going to play defensive back, but I think between having him play in the slot and having him learn some strong safety, I think would be really interesting to me. I think you got to get this guy in the field. This guy is an amazing blitzer. Again, he fits right into the Bay Area bullies. This guy is a bully. He's going to hit you hard. He's going to make an impact play. He's basically just a downhill runner. He's just awesome. His elite short area burst, right? The way he can stop, start is amazing. His closing speed, he's not just a straight line speed guy with the 4.3. He's not. This guy can start, stop. He can move left to right. I think he's going to be awesome. Because if you take into consideration that Bane and Trotter and now Scott are all going to be blitzing at certain packages, I mean, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the offense to block this. And again, this is a Todd Bowles guy. This guy was made from birth to play in Todd Bowles' scheme. And that's just the way this is. He's an effective blitzer, perfect timing, fearless, bully on the field. This guy is so physically gifted. It's unbelievable. If you look at this guy's explosive every time you watch him on film. He's aggressive. You know, he's a glass eater. I love that about him. One of the things that people don't know about him is he played special teams. He returned kicks and punts. Something that I haven't seen any of the national media talk about, something that I haven't really seen a lot about, but he is a special teams player. But this is an immediate impact guy who I believe should start. And everybody's, well, where is he going to start? Listen, you put the best players on the field regardless of position. This guy's one of the best players on the field. Get him on the field. I don't care where he goes. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what position it is. Make sure he's on the field, right? He's so versatile. Another physical bully. If you're going to sit there and say the guy's too aggressive and that's why he dropped in the draft, or he dropped in the draft because he can't play outside corner, that's all stupid. I don't have time for that. I can't listen to that. My guys can't be too aggressive. If I'm having a football team, my guys are super impactful, aggressive, physical players. I mean, I love this guy. I love this pick. I think it might be the best fourth round pick. I just think he shouldn't have been there in the fourth round. This guy also plays to run well. So if you look at what Jason Light did between Bain, Trotter, and now Scott, you basically really shored up our run game. Terrific vision. That vision for turnovers is also terrific special teams vision as well. The guy's extremely competitive. He's angry. Not a terrific tackler, but he's a terrific hitter. So we'll see how that goes. But the guy can play the run. I think run support, presser packages, zone coverage awareness. This guy has, where he lacks discipline, where they say, oh, he's too aggressive. Not for me. Put that as a check mark for me. Check it. Check it. Check mark. I'll take it. Round five, DeMonte Capehart, defensive tackle. You know, his NFL comparison is Daquan Jones. This guy, it's 6'5", 320, a big man, right? Ran the 40 at a 5.18. RAS score is 7.5, which isn't terrible. This guy is a double-team eater. If you don't block this guy with two people, you're in trouble. He controls gaps. He controls the run. He will take on multi-blockers. He will free up, like, Trotter to make plays against the run for sure. Not much of a pass rusher, extremely effective in short yardage, goal line situations, extremely effective. His size, strength, and anchor make this a terrific pick. This was a terrific pick. I'm telling you, the fact that we got this guy in the fifth round, this guy is going to eat snaps for us. This guy is going to play. This guy is going to get in the game, especially in the goal line areas. But again, we went into this draft looking for physicality. We went into this draft looking for bullies. We found them. We went into this draft looking for people who can stop the run, check, and we look for people who can rush the passer, blitz the passer. We have all of those. This is a tremendous draft. I love these picks. Are just unbelievable. I love this guy's size. His head coach literally said that he was one of his favorite players. Like, you don't hear that very often, but Capehart is a beast of a man. And again, he's a bully. Like, his reputation is, you don't mess with this guy. He's a glass eater. You stay away from him. This guy will take your wallet, right? I love the entire theory behind this draft. I love what they were doing. Then they come back and get Billy Schrauf. This is a guy that was ranked as high as the second round, 6'4", 311, big, nice guy, amazing technique, played at Notre Dame, technically sound guy. I don't know how Jason Light finds these guys. Graham Glasgow is his NFL comparison. This guy plays through contact, finishes blocks, unbelievably coached, so physical. He is another guy that's just a bully on the field on the offensive side. Coaches love this guy. Everybody raves about him. He was a captain, elected captain 2 years in a row. I love this pick. You know, we struggled so bad by having Amazon truck drivers block for us last year with our injuries. And to add somebody like Billy, to add somebody at this level, and I'm telling you, this guy's going to play early. I'm not saying he's going to start, but we have some still injured players. He might have to start the season. But I'm so impressed with how Jason Light continues to find these guards, you know, in the draft that no one seems to understand. And they go, oh, wow, that guy's a player. Round six, Bayer Sharp, tight end. I don't understand this one. Sorry, guys. We traded up to get him, 6'4", 250, 478. I know what he did in the rookie mini camp. I know he lined up in the slot, a receiver. He lined up at tight end. He's physically different than anything we have at the tight end position. What I was seeing with him was Logan Thomas is his NFL comp. The guy is another tight end that isn't a good blocker. We already have those guys. We have three of them that aren't good blockers, right? So this is a wide receiver threat. Obviously hasn't played tight end very often in his career, was not a wide receiver. You know, he was, he played different positions, quarterback, you know, so I'm looking at this guy. There has to be something they saw that we didn't see on the potential of this guy, or they just said, hey, listen, in this round, it doesn't matter. We're going to pick a guy that we think we're going to go on potential on this one. And from what Lee DeKemper told me from Bucks rookie minicamp, he did stand out as a guy that can catch the ball, and it was more athletic than our other tight ends, which I thought was interesting. We'll see. This could be a star special teams player. This guy could be a star on special teams, and that's why the Bucs drafted him, and then they're just going to look at developing him as a tight end receiving weapon. We'll see how that goes. As far as the UDFA class, Jaden Daniels, a QB out of Kansas, a dual threat quarterback. I think he has a very good accurate arm for middle to medium throws. I think he's going to struggle a little bit with the throws down the field. We'll see how he does under pressure, because, you know, that was his big knock was, you know, he runs too much out of the pocket, doesn't stay in the pocket, let the play come to him. His RAS score at 8.4 is extremely good for a quarterback. This guy's an athlete, not just a quarterback. He's very dangerous as a runner. Lee DeKemper gave me some feedback on him from rookie minicamp and said his throws were very accurate. So that was very impressive over last year because we didn't have very accurate throws in rookie minicamp last year. I think this is a guy that should have been drafted. He should have been 6th, 7th round as a flyer guy to look at. I think he has enough talent for that. He might surprise some people. He needs to work on staying in the pocket, but I think he can extend plays. I think he's going to love being around Baker Mayfield and NFL scouting. We'll see how that goes. Eric Rivers, wide receiver, 5'10", 180, 4.38, super fast. Special teams player, once he gets the ball in his hands in space, he's gone. So Eric Rivers is a guy to keep an eye on. They added some speed. Jack Pyburn is a edge guy, a 6'3", 265, ran a 4.78, RAS score of 6.8, effort-driven edge player, terrific run defense. This is a guy that wins with physicality, basically, and stops the run. Deshaun McKnight, defensive tackle, 6'3", 295, ran a sub-4.40, 8. RAS score, which is extremely good, penetrating interior defensive lineman. He is a guy that has shown some pass rush. So we'll see how Deshaun McKnight does in camp. Noah Short, wide receiver, 5'9", 185, 4'5", 40, 6.7 RAS score, reliable, tough slot receiver, another special teams guy. Javon Wright, we just signed him for minicamp, 6'2", 230, 4'6", 6'5", RAS score, just a solid linebacker. A lot of snaps in college, can play special teams. Caden Forham, linebacker, 6'1", 235, 4'6", 340, 7'4", RAS score. Again, an athletic linebacker that could develop into a special teams player. We signed a punter, Adrian Laros, 6'2", 200, strong laid punter to come in, I'm sure, to eat up some reps. But if you look at this entire draft and you look at what Jason Light did, it's spectacular. The Bay Area Bullies is a real thing. These guys are going to inflict such physicality to our defense. I really do think that, you know, people say, well, one draft can't make a team. Well, I can tell you this. We didn't need much help on the offensive side of the football. I think offensively we're going to be very good as long as our offensive line stays intact. I think the Bucs are an offensive football team. We're no longer a defensive football team. But this is what we did. Did we add enough players and playmakers to make our defense an average defense where every once in a while we can inflict some pass rush and get off the field on third down? The Buccaneers can't get off the field on third down, and goal line we suck, right? That's the way it's been. We're not going to do that anymore. I think we're going to be able to get off the field on third down with some actual pressure. And I think goal line wise, we added enough run defense and interior line that I just really love these picks. I think they did a terrific job for Todd Bowles to be successful this year. I think that's all you can ask for. If he's your coach, we have to support him, guys. He's our coach for this year. Let's support him. Let's give him what he needs to be successful. I think that he's going to scheme these guys well. If I see Reuben Bain drifting back into pass defense, if I see him guarding McCaffrey out of the backfield, I'm probably going to get pissed off. But, you know, that's what comes with the territory. But if we use these guys right, we drafted him for his scheme, and you're going to see some heavy blitzing and some physicality. I think it's terrific. Oh, thanks a lot, guys. I'm coming back. So I'm in town for a while. Well, thank God. I'm going to be breaking out these podcasts on more frequency, breaking down the different divisions, the different draft picks leading up into mini camps, which are going to be very exciting. We got a lot of stuff going on. Time is moving so fast. So please follow us at BillCurry4.com. Go in there and see all of our amazing specials. Set up your free mobile service visit. If you need anything at all, we're basically a one-stop shop. We can do everything. Follow us on social media, which you guys know, Bill Curry Ford Tampa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll see you guys next week. And I'm so excited. I'm just glad I got excited. You know, I was worried that I wasn't going to get excited, that we weren't going to be able to have a draft that that was exciting, and this is an exciting draft. We get to see some amazing players. We drafted from some great schools, some big schools with some great coaching, like Jason Taylor. Super psyched, man. I'm just super psyched. I'm just happy to be home. Special thanks to Sutton Ford and Paul Miller Ford. Special thanks to them and then the Curry family for allowing me to do the podcast and travel around and do fun stuff. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys next time.